There are two advantages clear to me in having a dog before having a child. We did it. Our yellow Labrador Knightley joined our household a little bit before our daughter Catherine arrived. And I can identify, as I said, at least two clear advantages. The first is the whole learning true responsibility part of it. You kids here think your parents have always been full-fledged adults, but most of them will admit to getting all the way there only after you were born. Obviously, a dog helps in the process. To have a beloved pet in the house forces us to have some measure of responsibility. We have to care for the dog, make sure it's fed and watered. So a dog helps us grow up a little bit. The second advantage of having a dog first is, well, it boils down to Cheerios and goldfish. Little Catherine, sitting in her high chair or snacking in the den, could fling Cheerios and goldfish into every corner of the house. But Knightley, always hungry, found and ate every last one. He was better than a vacuum cleaner, and he knew just to follow her around. Dogs are experts at finding the snack wagon. Even brand new puppies can figure it out. When I was in college, there was a man who raised pugs. He lived on the backside of campus, kind of near the baseball field. He kind of looked like a pug himself. We called him Pug Man. But it was great, because when there was a litter, you saw the puppies all over campus. Once I was at a baseball game, and you know how to make a man happy at a baseball game. I had a hot dog in my hand, but I dropped it. And as I stared down between my feet, I saw far below, under the stands, six pug puppies right there to receive the feast. The point is, a good dog knows where to be when a feast is coming. And it's the same point in today's gospel lesson. This gospel is about a dog as well. Now, you may not like it, I may not like it, but Jesus calls this Canaanite woman a dog. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs, Jesus says. It seems like a terrible insult, and it is. But you should also know that the word dog was the word used at the time. To the Jews of Jesus' day, all Gentiles were dogs. That's just what they called them. I'm not saying it's nice, but I'm saying it was the commonly used term. There are Jews and dogs, and that is the way that people made comparisons. So it seems sort of natural for Jesus to use some of the same comparisons and some of the same words. But if you look at it, Jesus is really doing it very differently and very brilliantly. In this stark yet dazzling exchange, Jesus is calling on his hearers to make comparisons too, but not the comparisons they are used to. Jesus is not comparing Jews and dogs. In this exchange with the Canaanite woman, Jesus is comparing dogs and disciples. You will recall what is happening. Jesus has just left one town and reached another. You remember that the disciples took the boat across and Jesus walked on water to catch up. Today, on this side of shore, Jesus is teaching when he is approached by the Canaanite woman. Her faith makes her ask for healing for her daughter, and that is when Jesus calls her a dog because she's not a Jew. But she is tenacious. She responds to Jesus after he calls her a dog that even the dogs know where to get the crumbs. And then Jesus makes his sharp and even stinging comparison. Jesus says to her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And here is the comparison. You can't have forgotten. It's just a day and a half ago. Jesus is speaking to Peter in the middle of the sea. Peter, the greatest disciple. And what does Jesus say as Peter sinks down into the waves? you of little faith, why did you doubt? So you have to see it. To the Canaanite woman, great is your faith. To Peter, the great disciple, why did you doubt? This gospel lesson is not about what Jesus said, or really even about what Jesus did. This gospel is about one smart dog who knows where to turn to find the feast of blessing that she is hungry for. Compliments are rare in the gospels. They just weren't usually recorded. When Jesus compliments this Gentile woman's great faith, it stands out. It has to stand out to the disciples, who consider her a dog and have just had their own lack of faith pointed out to them. This gospel lesson is about a smart and faithful dog who knew that the only place to put yourself if you are hungry is at the feet of Jesus. Jesus saw it and healed her daughter and took the opportunity also to upset the apple cart on the assumptions and prejudices of the day. To the Canaanite woman, great is your faith. To Peter, the great disciple, why did you doubt? And so now, what about you? If this gospel lesson is mostly about the Canaanite woman's great faith, what does it have to do with you and me? Well, I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes when I look into the mirror, and sometimes when I look out at all of you, sometimes I think you will agree we look pretty shaggy. We can admit it, can't we? We can be dogs. We sometimes are. You know it's true. Sometimes we are dogs. The question is, are we smart dogs? Do we know where to position ourselves for a feast? Do we know that the only place to turn to receive our heart's desire is to our Lord? Do we know that the only place to be, the only place where blessings fall down like rain and forgiveness drops like rays of sunshine? Do we know that the only position to put ourselves in is at the feet of Jesus? Now, if you know that, if you are sure, if this morning you sit eagerly and anxiously waiting with your tail wagging, then you are a smart dog and you will enjoy the feast.